I want to talk about. I want to talk about the power of prayer and praise. The power of prayer and praise from Acts chapter 16. Now, Father, bless your word as we break it open for these few minutes tonight. Use it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Every one of us who lives in a home or an apartment, wherever we live, your place of abode has been wired for electricity. That is, it has been wired to carry the currents necessary to provide power in your home. Without the wiring, you would not have the capacity to receive the power to pull off operating in your home as you need to operate. One of the great fears of Y2K is the question about the electrical grid. You see, if the electrical grid goes down, for however long it's down, we go back in a way of saying to the ice ages, because the electrical grid provides us the foundation for electrical power. And of course, there's so many lines of code. How can we ever conceive of getting all those codes updated and integrated properly by the year 2000? One of the great concerns, because who cares whether the IRS goes down, but one of the great concerns is the question of the electrical grid. Because we depend on it for power. And you have to be wired in order to get that. That power, that electrical power, is responsible for the working of most of the things in your home. Your lights come on because of power. The electrical can opener works, the toaster works, the microwave works, all because of power. You have been wired for power. God has hardwired the world to work. God has wired the world to be able to have power furnished to it in order to function as it ought to. That's why we can do so much when we make these discoveries. Christians uniquely have a switch to access the power for which the world has been wired. All the power in the world does not make your appliances come on unless you turn on the on switch. If the on switch is off, the wiring is intact, but the power is not operative, at least as it relates to that particular utility at that particular time. How do you and I access the power that turns on the switch that garrisons the necessary power to experience God's work in our lives and in our circumstances? I would like to suggest to you tonight that prayer and praise is the switch that turns on the access to the power for which your spiritual life has been wired. A great illustration of this principle is a story in Acts chapter 16. Paul has been preaching the word of God and winning people to Christ. In verse 14, he wins a lady named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple, which was the expensive clothes of the day, were always made with purple. She was a worshiper of God, according to verse 14, and the Lord opened up her heart to respond to the message of the gospel. Paul goes and stays with her for a few days. She receives him into her home as now part of the family of God. In verse 16, however, when they were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who were bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. And by the way, fortune telling can bring you a lot of profit. Just look at the way they upgraded that house on Zang. Used to be a little wooden shack. Man's brick all the way around. So fortune telling can bring you a lot of money. She was making money with the psychic network, horoscopes, Ouija boards, or reading lines on your finger, which I've never understood why somebody would go to somebody to read the lines on your finger. That's another sermon. Well, she was following Paul, crying out, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." Now, that's interesting. The girl is crying out truth, even though she is contaminated with Satan. In fact, she made a habit of this. In verse 18, Paul was annoyed because he did not want a person who was demonized supporting him in ministry, even if what she was saying was okay. In other words, just because the words are right doesn't mean the folks saying them are right. You with me? The words can be right, but that don't mean you right. In fact, some of you on Sunday say hallelujah. No, you ain't right. So you can say the right words and not be the right person. He was annoyed because he knew the evil spirit operating in him with her. He says, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her," and it came out that very moment. So she was demonized. When her master saw that the hope of profit was gone, that there was no more money, the money got funny, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities, and when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, "These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which is not lawful for us to accept or observe, being Romans." That's very interesting. When they saw that the Christian faith was interfering with financial gain, they created a trumped-up charge in order to get Paul and Silas to be silenced. It was a legal charge. You see, in Rome, it was the law that stated that you could not promote a religion that had not been okayed by the Roman Empire. Now, this is like one of those laws on the books that's been on the books for a long time and nobody ever listens to, and so somebody brings it up. The law was there, but it was rarely ever used. In Rome, they really didn't mind a lot of religions. You could have any religion you want as long as you honored Caesar. So they really got in trouble when they said there's only one Christ, Jesus Christ, only one King, Jesus Christ. That's what got them into trouble, because now that infringed on Caesar. But here, they're not concerned about that. They're concerned about one little old thing, and that is their loss of revenue. Not only was it an issue of religion, it was an issue of race. They said at the end of verse 20, "These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews." They played the race card. These Jews are coming in here creating strife. Instead of bringing harmony to our community, they're coming in here stirring up stuff. And you know how they are. Play the race card. So they played a religion card, they played a race card, when neither was the problem was a money card. Nation's bank card. You know? The problem had to do with money. When they saw that they could not use this girl for money anymore because she wouldn't do what she did anymore because she was not demonized like she had been before, they go to the magistrates and they complain that these folks are causing a problem. Now, this started something in the city, verse 22. The crowd rose up together against them. The chief priests and magistrates tore their robes off of them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. So there's physical persecution. And when they had inflicted many blows on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. So they threw them into prison, no trial, no nothing. We're going to see that's very important in a moment. And they were to be thrown into prison because they had been subversive in the community, as it was claimed. Well, verse 24, and he, having received such a command, the guard, the jailer, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. So they're told, the jailer is told, secure them. In other words, don't just put them in jail, put them in serious jail, securely. So what he does is he throws them into the inner prison, not general prison, inner prison. It would be more like you and I talking about a prisoner being thrown into solitary confinement or something. But not only were they put in a prison and locked in, they were put in stocks, bonds. They were, their feet were locked down. They could not move. They could not get around. So this was the most secure situation possible. So they're in the worst possible condition. Usually the inner prison was worse than the outer prison. Usually the inner prison was dirtier than the outer prison. You're isolated with only other people who've been put back in this inner prison. And so I think you would agree that this is not a pleasant situation. Let's look at their response, verse 25. And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. You see, y'all didn't read that. Let me read that again. I always get excited when I read about midnight. You know something coming down when somebody tells you about midnight. It didn't just say, they started praying and praising. It says they did it about midnight. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Let me start off by talking about what they were not doing. They weren't cussing. They weren't complaining. They weren't getting mad at God. I mean, seems natural they could have said, why me? I'm out here serving you best I could. I'm witnessing to, if I hadn't been witnessing for you and trying to deal with the devil, I wouldn't be in this mess. Have you ever felt like if you weren't living right, you wouldn't be in this mess? If you weren't doing what you, if you were doing wicked like everybody else, you wouldn't be in this mess. If I was like everybody else, I wouldn't have to go home and be by myself tonight. If I was acting like everybody else at work who's grafting and everything else, I'd have money in my pocket. If I was like everybody else, see, they could have argued and been fussing at God, that's not fair. It's not fair for us not only to be accused wrong, but to be thrown into jail, but not just to be thrown into jail, but to be thrown in the inner jail, but not only just to be thrown in the inner jail, but to be locked down in inner jail, and it's just not fair. Well, for everybody in here tonight who think it's just not fair, maybe you ought to change your approach. About midnight. Now, what you supposed to be doing at midnight? Midnight, you're supposed to be asleep. Midnight, you're supposed to be closing your eyes. But you know, here's how you know when things are serious. When about midnight, when you ought to be sleeping, you need God so desperately that more important than a full night's sleep is making contact with heaven about midnight. About midnight, it tells me that they are praying and praising, singing. Instead of complaining about their pain, they realize something. They probably remember the Old Testament scriptures where God says, I will give you a song in the night. Job 35:10. Psalm 42:8. Now, I want to let you know, anybody can sing in daylight. Anybody can praise God when the sun is shining, about 12 noon. But what you do about midnight? It's easy to come to church and praise God when he's come through for you. It's easy to bless God when he's given you that money, healed that body, changed that relationship. And you ought to praise God at 12 noon. But about midnight, when it's dark, when there's no way out, and when your problem is so bad it's got you locked up. Anybody got a problem that bad? There is no escape. You're not only in jail, you're in the inner jail, locked down. And it's about midnight. It's dark outside. It's dark in your circumstance. It's dark in your situation. And you see no way out. My Bible says, about midnight, they prayed and praised by singing to God. You see, they recognize the power of prayer and praise. They recognize that the worse off I am, the more I need God. It's okay to praise him in the daytime, but it's nighttime now. And so they prayed and they praised. Now, this raises the question. What do you praise and pray for about midnight? And here's the principle. How you and I respond in suffering is directly related to our view of God. Let me say that again. How you respond at midnight, not at 12 noon, but how you respond at midnight when things are their darkest has everything to do with your concept of God. When midnight comes in your life, and all of us will have a midnight. Some of us right now in our Christian lives are at 12 noon. Sun is hot and bright, and you better praise him, because midnight's coming. For some of you, it's 3 o'clock. For others, it's getting a little dusky outside. 6 o'clock. For For others of you, it's midnight, dark, and you're in your inner cell, and there just is no way out. No matter how hard Paul and Silas tried, they could not get out of this situation. The power of positive thinking would not get them out of jail. They could sit there all day long and tell them, think positive, think positive, think positive, think positive. Because sometimes when you start this power of positive thinking stuff, you be lying. Like, I'm not really in jail. You know, these aren't real, these are paper chains. That's a lie. If you're in jail, you're in jail. If it's dark, it's dark. And if you're locked down, you're locked down. That's just, it is. You don't say when you're depressed, I'm not really depressed. Yeah, I'm depressed. That's reality. It's midnight. The problem with midnight is that often it reveals what we think about God, and often it's not much. The reason why Paul and Silas could pray at midnight was because of what they knew about God. And they knew that God responds to the prayer and praises of his people even at midnight. What are some of the things that they knew? Well, Paul knew it because he wrote it, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God and are the called ones according to his purpose. So I can imagine Paul praying, Lord, we were out here serving you. You could have stopped the magistrates from reacting this way. You could have stopped them from beating us, but you didn't. So you must have something else up your sleeve. So we just want to bless your name for what you got up your sleeve that we can't see. They would have sung something like, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. They would have blessed the name of God, not for their pain, not for the whelps on their back, not for their prison. They would be praising God for his purposes. When you are in a bad situation, and it's about midnight, and you can't thank God for what you're going through, it hurts too bad. Don't thank him for that. But what you can thank him for are his purposes. That he is up to something. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is another scripture that gives us a perspective that we ought to have when things get dark. Verse 16 says, therefore we do not lose heart, but though the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond our comparison, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let me tell you why you ought to pray and praise at midnight. Because prayer and praise takes your eyes off of what you see and puts your eyes off on what you can't see. Okay? He said, do not lose heart. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit yet. Refocus yourself. How? Through prayer and praise, so you can leave what you see and go to what you can't see. Every time you praise God, you're praising the unseen. Every time you pray to God, you're praying to the unseen. Which means that at whatever moment you are praying and praising, you are placing more importance on the unseen than you are on the seen. So you automatically make God a priority. Let's look at a couple more passages. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10. Paul was going through a rough time. He told God, take it away from him. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, like he's going through in Acts 16, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know why you ought to praise and pray when you're going through tough times? Because it is in the midst of weakness God shows you his strength. See, when nothing's wrong and there's no sense of a need of God, then you don't realize his strength. But his strength is perfect when your strength is gone. When you're tempted to give up and you enter into a time of prayer and praise, you find the strength to carry on. And you wonder where that strength came from. I ought to be pulling my hair out. I ought to be insane right now. And yet I still have a smile. People are going to want to know, how can you smile at a time like this? You know how I know? The text tells us about midnight. The rest of the prisoners were listening. Why does Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, tell us what the prisoners were doing? Because he wanted us to know that the effect of prayer and praise keeps other people who are messed up too. These guys want to sleep. But they what? Listening in. It didn't say they were hearing. It said they were listening. That's the difference. See, if I'm trying to sleep and you singing and I hear you, I'm going to say, be quiet. Not if I'm in prison because you can't do anything about what I said. But if I'm sleepy and you singing and I'm listening, that means something about what you are doing is affecting me, and I am entering in and participating in it. They not only brought joy and power to themselves, they were giving hope to some folk who had no hope. Prayer and praise about midnight can help other people who are in the same midnight as you, because they were all in jail. Everybody's struggling about midnight. And they were listening. Instead of cursing, they were blessing God because they knew that God responds to prayer and praise. I'm told that birds have their own songs based on different species, that every species has its own song, and when they hear the birds sing of their own species, they respond to it. Well, God responds to his song. When you bless the Lord in prayer and praise. Yes, I know I'm sure they were asking for deliverance, but it wasn't just prayer, it was singing. And singing is a way of praising. You know, cellular phones are all over the place today. We called one guy today from our office. We thought he was home. We thought we called his home number. We called his cellular number. And he answered the phone. And he said, how you doing? He said, fine. Where are you? I'm in Miami. He sounded like he was right next door. He's halfway across the country. But with the cellular phone, we picked him up right away. And you know what? Because he carries his phone with him, he can be reached anytime, any place. Oh, you see where I'm going with that one, don't you? Yeah, God is a long way away. Oh, but he's only a phone call away. And guess what? He always has it with him. It never runs out of battery, and it's never turned off. You can communicate with him about midnight. When everything is crushing down on you, you can communicate with our God. Praise is the switch that turns on the power to God. What happened when they praised God in Acts? Chapter 16. Verse 26 says, and suddenly, that's a sermon right there. Sunday morning, I'm going to come in here and say the title of my sermon tonight, today is suddenly. He says, but suddenly, that means unexpectedly. That means out of nowhere. That means unpredictably. Suddenly. There came a great earthquake. So that. See, you got to watch these words. There didn't just come a great earthquake. It was a so that kind of earthquake. So that the foundations of the prison house was shaken. Now, it didn't say that an earthquake came so that the city was shaken, so that the neighborhood where the prison was located was shaken. Okay? It says it was a prison house earthquake. Are you listening? See, now watch me now. The earthquake showed up where the problem was. See, oh, shush, y'all don't want me. Let's look how specific this earthquake got. And immediately, all the doors were open. Now, who ever heard of an earthquake picking locks? All the doors were open. Now watch this. And everybody's chains fell off. It was a very particular earthquake. It was a very particular earthquake. What did God do? He shook things up. That's what he did. That's what an earthquake is. We just had one here recently. It shook things up, but it shook things up that needed shaking. But look at how it happened suddenly. Some of you are trusting God and you say, I'm looking, but I don't see nothing. But you wouldn't see anything coming if God's going to do it suddenly. You won't see it if he's going to come out of nowhere. He's just going to show up. You wouldn't see it coming. All I know is when the praise came up, the earthquake came from underneath and it addressed their very problem. About midnight. They're praising God, and suddenly God swings it open. Verse 27. And when the jailer had been roused out of his sleep, a lot of commotion going on. And usually the chief jailer's house would be located right next to the jail. So he's hearing all this going on. And had seen, he jumps out, the prison doors open. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. Now, why is he going to commit suicide? Because the Roman law says that if you were a jailer and the prisoner under your watch escapes, you get their penalty. That's why. So he's a dead man. Because, you know, he not only one prison stay escaped, but he sees that the shackles have fallen off everybody. He's a 50-time dead man. He's just dead. Now notice, this sinner had done his job excellently. They said secure him. He put him in the inner jail and put stocks on him. So he did what he's supposed to do. But God showed up and overruled the sinner. Anybody working for a sinner and he's got you in the inner jail at work? Anybody working for a sinner and it got you locked up and said, I'm going to make sure you don't get the promotion? Anybody living with a sinner that's got you locked up and it looks like you're going nowhere? You better send the praise up. Pray and praise. Sinner had them locked down. Now the sinner is thinking about committing suicide when God shows up. But now look at this. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, die, sinner, die. Is that what it said? Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for light and rushed in, trembling with fear. He fell down before Paul and Silas, and after he brought them out, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your whole family. Oh, this is good stuff. Now watch this now. Paul's locked up. No way out. God supernaturally delivers him when the prayer and the praises go up. The situation is reversed. No longer is the sinner confining the saint. Things are reversed. When Paul is delivered, watch this now. He could have run and said, I got mine, hope you get yours. He could have said, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Silas, let's get out of Dodge. You know what he does? He uses his deliverance to be a witness. Hello? He sees the man and he screams, the text says, do thyself no harm, we are all here. He uses his opportunity to be a witness. Instead of running away, he becomes a blessing. He becomes a blessing. He tells it. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. My great concern is when God starts giving some of you breakthroughs, you won't be a witness. You won't tell where your blessings came from. Not Paul. He exclaims it. And look how it ends. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour that night, washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, all of his household. And he brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. Now, I call that a reversal of situations. He gives them food. Now, that could mean they hadn't eaten. And if it does mean they hadn't eaten, that meant at about midnight, they were praying, praising, and fasting. You watch that now. Gave them food, that means they were hungry. But that's not all that happened. Look at the end of the story. Now, when the next day came, the chief magistrate sent their policemen saying, release those men. A little late, buddy. God's already covered that one. And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, the chief magistrates have sent to release you. Now, therefore, come out and go in peace. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us in public without trial, which was illegal. Men who are Romans, Romans, which was doubly illegal. You couldn't do that to a Roman citizen. And have thrown us into prison, and now they are sending us away secretly. They don't want anybody to know about their illegalities. No, indeed. But let them come themselves and bring us out. Paul, you're kind of going overboard with this thing, aren't you? I mean, God didn't let you go, boy. You better get out of here while the getting's good. And the policemen reported these words to the chief magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans, because Rome didn't tolerate this, and they were in a Roman province, so they could have, this guy could have lost his job. And they came and appealed to them, and when they had brought them out, they kept begging them to leave the city. Please go, Paul, please. Pretty, please, would you go? I'm sorry, Paul. They went out of the city and into the house of Lydia, and when they saw the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. What's the point? The point was, about midnight, when things were dark, and they went from bad to worse. First of all, they were accused wrong. Then they were beaten. Then they were put in jail. Then they were put in jail in stocks. So things kept getting from bad to worse. But about midnight, Paul looked at Silas and said, you know what we ought to do? We ought to get our praise on. We ought to sing back to God his glory and his power. We ought to remind ourselves he can open up Red Seas. We ought to remind ourselves Joshua could cross Jordan rivers. We ought to remind ourselves of all that our great God has done and bless his holy name. That happened about midnight. And suddenly, out of nowhere, I don't know when your blessing's coming. I don't know when your deliverance is going to come. All I know is if it's midnight, you need to send your prayer and praises up. You remember that commercial that says, is it live or is it Memorex? Remember that? You know what raised that question was a person hitting the right pitch to shatter the glass. They hit the right pitch, and it was so potent, the right pitch, that the glass shattered everywhere. Joshua must have hit the right pitch at Jericho, because the brick shattered everywhere and the walls came tumbling down. He hit the praise pitch, the prayer pitch. We saw Jehoshaphat last week where it says, and when they began singing, God confused their enemy. You know, a rooster only sings when the sun comes up. Cock-a-doodle-doo. The robin only sings during the day when it is trying to impress a member of the opposite sex. But a nightingale sings all day long. Which kind of bird are you? Do you only sing when the sun's up? Do you only sing when you want something? Or is sending up your praise in prayer just the way you are? When I was a boy, my father bought me this little clown punching bag. Some of y'all had that as kids, especially the guys. And you'd hit the clown, knock it down, bounce right back up. Hey, man, how hard did you hit this clown? This clown was going to bounce up, okay? I get so irritated trying to keep this clown down, okay? One day I got a bat. I was irritated at this clown. Every time I hit it, bam, wing. I'd knock it across the room, come back. I slammed this bat, boom, sent that thing flying against the wall. It went on two walls, came back down, whoop. You know why I kept coming back up? Because at the bottom of it is a weight. And what's at the bottom weighs more than what's at the top. Because what's at the bottom weighs more than what's at the top, what happens at the top is never the final word. Because what's at the bottom runs the show. Satan's going to try to knock you down. And he's going to come at you hard. But if what's at the bottom weighs more than what's at the top, you're going to keep bouncing back. You're going to keep coming back. So if it's about midnight, anybody here is about midnight? Anybody here about midnight? Sounds like you ought to get your praise on. Sounds like you ought to make prayer and praise the order of the day. And then watch the salvation of the Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand. Bookstore is open. Dinner is still...